listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality
with Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. And you can catch our show every Sunday from 5 to 5:50 Pacific Standard Time. I forgot what time zone I'm in. If this is your first time tuning in, our show is about informative entertainment, and it's done in a fun, upbeat improv style. It's all about improv, upbeat, and fun. We don't have any boring guests on our show, and they all have to talk loud. And we are going to provide you with tips, advice, and resource information on how to pursue a career in show business. And that could be in any field, whether it's a producer, director, actor, you name it. We're going to have people on the show that have a career in that area. And the guests, again, various professions in the entertainment industry, and we're definitely going to have somebody from a career that you're interested in, so you have to tune in sooner or later. They're going to be on. You can also go to the website, questionreality.us, and you'll see people who are upcoming on the show. And if you also want to comment on anyone that's been on the show, we would love for you to check out the website, latalkradio.com, and post your comment about our show. We would love it, but we only want positive comments. No negativity. No, no, no. And it's a schedule link, I believe. If you want to check out the past guests and read their bios and listen and download any of the shows, you click on the schedule link at the top of the LA Talk Radio website. And I don't know, Sam revised that, but it used to say schedule, but I don't know what it says. You'll have to poke around a little bit. And again, let's see, it's going to take you directly to my archive page, and you can peruse all of the shows at your own leisure. And if you hit play, you can play the past shows immediately, and then if you right click download, you can save a copy for the future whenever you want to listen to it. And you can also hear Question Reality on iTunes. Yay! I don't know how the hell you navigate to the iTunes section, but I know we're on iTunes. I don't know how we got there, but I think Albert did it. I can't remember. And we'd love for you to call in, ask questions, and provide comments on the guest or the show. And you can call in between 5:15 and 5:30. And we take your calls directly. You do not have to go through a streaming process. It's not like Frasier where you have to talk to Roz. You call in, you talk directly to us. And the call-in number, it should be right in front of you if you're at the website. But if you are not, the number is 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. Again, if you like the show and you found it helped in some way, we'd love to hear from you. So again, just click on the community link at the top of the LA Talk Radio website. Oh, gee, I found out what it was called. All right, it only takes a minute to enter your email address, and you can post your comment. And now I want to tell you who we have today. We have a fantastic guest. We're not going to talk to her right now, but I thought I would tell you and get you started. Her name is Natasha Prosing, and she is a producer and a director and a writer, and God knows what else she does, because she is super duper groovy cool, and she does everything that is artistic. So I want you to go to her website right now, and her website is, well, one of two, there are going to be two. The first one is, I'm going to spell it for you, K-A-N-A-L-Y APICTURES.com. And she may kill me for this, but I think it's canaliapictures.com. Again, KANALAPICTURES.com. And she also has another website, and this is the cutest name ever, jackandjillian.com. And that's JACKANDGILL IAN. I couldn't see with my bifocals. IAN. Yes, it is. And I want you to go there right now and check out her website and learn a little bit about her. I am going to talk to you about my new advertiser, Sterling Optical. Now, I have to tell you, I have gone through how many glasses, Albert, have we gone through in the past 12 years?
16.
Speak in the mic. How many?
16.
16 pairs of glasses. And the reason we either sit on them, we lose them, the cat does things with them that are not natural. There are many things that happen in our household with glasses. So we have gone to lens crafters, and we've gone to private doctors, and we've gone to, what's it, Frame and Lens and Four Eyes, and oh my God, I can't tell you. We've checked out everybody. Well, we came across Sterling Optical, and I don't know why I didn't check them out before. I have no idea, but for some reason I never did, but I guess they made the list. And I went to the one that's in South Pasadena. I don't know if you're familiar with that area, but it's at 1103 Fair Oaks Avenue in South Pasadena. And we went in there, and there was this wonderful woman. There was only one person in there, and her name was Ping. Ping Wan. I love that name, Ping Wan. And she was fantastic. She was just so down to earth and helpful, and she was flexible, and she didn't try to do any hard sales. She just let me try on as many glasses as I wanted. I had about 20 of them lined up, falling all off the desk, and she did not lose patience with me. She was right in there, super cool, and gave us a cool discount, which if you go there and you tell her that you heard about us on Question Reality Radio. I'm giving you the website address. Question Reality Radio. She is offering a discount. But my glasses were done in a week. I couldn't believe it. It's not the Lens Crafter 1 hour, but I tell you, not to bash Lens Crafters, but I bought a pair of glasses there, and they broke in, what, 2 days, Albert?
Haste makes waste.
That's right. That's the perfect timing for that. And they broke in 2 days. The arm kind of broke off, and I went back, and they said, sorry, we can't fix it. And they refused to fix it. And those glasses were $370. So I said, forget it. Forget about it. I'm not coming back. So I went to Sterling Optical Glasses in a week, and they are fantastic. Do you love your glasses, Albert?
Yeah, I found my way here.
He found his way here, so they must be good glasses. So check out Ping and Dr. Benjamin Liu at Sterling Optical. Phone number is 626-441-0770. Sterling Optical, yeah. I wish I had a commercial for that. We're going to have to do a commercial for our new advertiser, Sterling Optical. And now, without further ado, yay, can we have a drum roll? We're going to have to get some sort of instruments in here, because I need some sort of lead in. Thank you, Craig. Yes. And now for the wonderful, fantastic, incredible Slovenian princess. Yes, everybody, she is from Slovenia. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Natasha Prosing.
Hello. My goodness. Is that really me?
That's you. Oh, with that beautiful accent. Did I say that right? Slovenia?
You said it all right so far.
Right. So Slovenia is different Slovenia.
Right.
Is different from Slavia.
Slovakia.
Slovakia. Yeah. So Slovakia and Slovenia are different.
Yeah, no Slavia.
No, there's no Slavia anymore? Was there ever a Slavia? No. I don't know where I came up with a Slavia.
It's complicated.
I am terrible at geography. Woo! Good in just about everything, and expert in English, but not good in geography. So, what you were on my radio, my television show,
yep.
And you were doing all kinds of stuff, but I think at that particular time you were on the television show, you were working on your movie Souvenir.
Right.
Which we saw. Then. Yeah. Well, you've been up to so much. Now, let's tell a little. Can I tell a little bit about you?
Yes, sir.
You are a producer, a director, a writer. Am I leaving any other titles out?
Visual artist.
Visual artist. And she is a Slovenian-born filmmaker and artist. And she graduated from the Academy of Fine Arts in, I can't wait to pronounce this, Ljubljana.
That is wrong.
Damn. All right. Damn it. Okay, let me try it again. La Jublana. All right, why don't you give it a... It's spelled J-L-U-B-L-J-A-N-A. How would you pronounce that?
I know, it's impossible.
Okay, go ahead. Give it
it's
a shot.
Ljubljana.
Oh!
And it's from the word ljubezen, which means love in Slovenian.
Oh, very close to Liebling from Germany. Just a hop, skip, and a jump across the water. All right. She had the honor of working at the Slovenian State TV as a writer-director of different cultural programs for the Slovenian CNN branch. How cool is that?
Yeah, that was
CNN. What'd you do there?
I went out and I did a little report, and in the end I had to say this was Natasha Prosens for the CNN World Report.
Wow! So you were right there, rain, snow, sleet, or hail. You were out there with a microphone. Bombs going off. What was happening in Slovenia when you were a reporter?
Yeah, right. I was covering art, more or less.
Oh.
But also in the times of the war. So. Yeah.
Covering arts in times of war.
Well, it's so no... very exciting, you know. The whole Museum of Modern Art was taking all the art to the underground and things like that. So
really? What period was that? In the 90s, right?
91.
Wow. They were stealing all the art? Who
they
was
stealing?
They were
not stealing. They were bringing it all down in order to protect it in front of
I thought you meant taking it to the underground market like Hitler was.
No,
oh, God.
No. That's what my film is about. That's what Souvenir is about.
Yes, that's true. Oh, my God. So you were out there with your little mic and you were covering art during this crisis situation.
Also. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Did you like it? How long were you there?
Well, I was there. I was living there.
So you hadn't come
that
yet.
That was before
I see.
Yeah.
Before you came here.
My American new life.
You know, you speak very, very good English.
Did you
learn English when you were in Slovenia?
Yeah.
So you had to... you didn't have to be a reporter there, but did you start at an early age, or did you...
Oh, yeah. English has been a second language for a while now in Slovenia. Before it was Russian or French,
right.
But I think it started, I don't know, maybe in 80s.
Mm-hmm. You know? Now, you came here in 1997. What was the reason that you decided to come to America? Because it seems like you had, like, the dream career in Slovenia. I mean, you were hot potatoes
you
in Slovenia.
You were living the Slovenia dream.
Yeah, you were living the dream life in Slovenia. Come on, now. That was, like, the shit in Slovenia, working for CNN, right?
Right. I mean, the thing is, I wanted to, study film. Mm-hmm. I wanted to study film in America, American way. I was already established artist over there, video artist, and I was working with television and doing all kinds of visual things. But I felt that I have to improve my knowledge and my practice of filmmaking, like hardcore filmmaking. That's what I came here.
What's it like over there? How hard is it? I mean, what is the world of visual arts and making films in Slovenia? I mean, how progressive are they?
They're extremely progressive. They're very progressive. I do think we lost something with when Yugoslavia fell apart, because Slovenia used to be part of Yugoslavia, and Yugoslavia had amazing cinema. It may not be known in the United States that much, but it won a lot of awards in big festivals like Cannes, and you know. So,
any in particular, any film that we would know of, more mainstream, or
well, you know, in last years there was No Man's Land, but that's not Yugoslavia any longer. That was. That was actually co-production, you know, like they are right now in Europe. But it was about the war, the last war that happened in Yugoslavia. And that was that got an Oscar, and it was distributed here.
Yeah.
But what I'm talking about right now, it's cinema in old Yugoslavia. That it's really, really special and, like, you know, very unique. I wanted to tie this to the situation right now when Slovenia, it's, you know, the Yugoslavia fell apart into six different parts, and then Slovenia, it's trying to form its own identity for the first time in the history of the area, which means that also all the art fields and everything, economy, everything, it's forming its identity.
And is the government, are they pro-artists?
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of countries are not.
No. Slovenia, it's extremely progressive. It's one of the most, you know, progressive countries in Eastern Europe in general. And Slovenia has a lot of artists, a lot of poets, a lot of filmmakers. Probably too many. You know, it's only 2 million people. It's just this kind of you know, population that always was expressing itself through art or some kind of creative form. Right. You know.
So the colleges there. Would you recommend, say, you're an American and you want to go abroad to study? Would you recommend any particular university in Slovenia to study?
Oh yeah.
What would you recommend?
You know, schools there are actually better.
I know they are. The IQs are certainly a lot higher. We know that. What schools would you recommend? I know you get a good education there.
Well, you know, I went to Academy of Fine Arts. It was great. I like the, how would I translate it? Like School for Architecture, it's amazing. School for Design or, I don't know how to call it. It's a big university for humanitarian studies, let's say, which is amazing.
And plus, and it's so probably a lot more inexpensive, too.
Oh, absolutely. When I was there, it was free. Now, it does cost some money, but it's not comparable to how expensive it is here.
You know, people don't think about this, and I always say to people here in America, if you are not born with the silver spoon, but you've saved up enough money to go abroad and you want to go to college and you can't afford to go to college here, think about going to school in a foreign country. Look, you have a lot of foreign citizens who come here to go to school, but there are a ton of universities in foreign countries that you can go to. You're going to get a, I don't want to say better education, but probably better education. Not to bash our schools, but you're going to get a good education. Plus, it is going to be maybe a quarter of what you would pay here.
Plus, and the university names overseas sound kind of exotic.
Yeah, it sounds really good. The School of Development. But yeah, universities in foreign countries, think about it, people. It is an option. You can do it, save you a fortune, and you will get a very good education. Plus, you'll become very cultured, right?
Right.
Very cultured. So you were, when you were doing all of these things, visual arts in Slovenia, and you started winning awards.
Right.
Correct? So you said, hey now, I am hot stuff. I'm going to the United States and take the world by storm.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you decided to come here in 1997, and I believe you came on a Fulbright scholarship.
That's right, yeah.
Now, that's a pretty hard thing to get.
Right.
You must have had really good grades.
Well, I came here 1 year before on another grant that it's called ArtLinks, which is a Soros grant that was for, communication between America and Eastern Europe that was really kind of like falling apart at the time. And I came here for 5 weeks and I kind of fell in love with LA, which was just kind of an irrational thing just because the sky was so big and there was all these, the bushes were smelling so great.
You were in LA and it smelled good. What year was this? My God. All right, I'll take your word
for it.
It was
spring and I knew when I was here, just for a short time, for 3 weeks first and a little bit about New York and stuff. And then at that point, I knew I'm going to come back. I just didn't know how. Mm-hmm. And then I decided I'm going to apply for Fulbright. I got a Fulbright, went to CalArts, and then I started making projects
you
here.
You got your master, your MFA in film and video.
Right.
Not an easy achievement.
Right. I mean, when I went to the school, I was already doing my projects, films and videos, and everything kind of led towards trying to make my feature film. And I was applying with my scripts in Slovenia and here, and it kind of happened that first one happened here.
No, what was the first one?
Souvenir.
Souvenir.
Yeah.
My favorite, because I saw that one. And now you direct feature films, short films, documentaries, and video art installations. Now, for people who don't know what video art installations are, what are video art installations? A lot of people don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a...
I actually got 4 emails today from reading your... I have a major echo going on, and I don't know what's going on. But I got 4 emails today from people who said, what does Natasha mean by art installation? I said, well, let's ask Natasha, because I've never heard of an art installation either, so let's just ask her. So for all of us who don't know what that is, what is that?
Well, in very short, video art is a form of art that uses moving image, and it's a gallery art. So if you come to the gallery and you're going to go see a video installation, it's basically like you would go and see a painting, but this painting is moving. And video art in the last 10 years became one of the most expressive and artists use the most this form in contemporary art in general. So it's like if you talk about contemporary art, that's a big piece of it, you know. Mm-hmm. So people do it in different ways. I usually make a kind of a contemplative pieces. They don't have a narrative structure, but they have a certain message, certain theme, and I always want that the space and the moving image are sharing the same idea, mm-hmm. which means that you're actually entering the art piece, not just observing it, mm-hmm. and it should actually influence you, not just visually, but it also has sound, and it also kind of, the viewer should kind of submerge in the piece, you know.
That kind of sounds like
TV. It has
TV.
To hit your gut, no, and it's not like TV.
No, not... Okay, so for example, you being an artist, they can create on the spot. If I said, we're in this room using just this, but you could have any camera equipment that you needed, what could you do in this room?
It's easy. As soon as I walked in and I saw these microphones, they looked like big insects. If you would just put the camera right, I mean, if the ceiling would be higher, right?
Uh-huh.
And would just have like a shot of everything, uh-huh. that would be like a perfect symmetry, and we are all here doing something, so it would look like all kinds of stuff.
So immediately, as an artist, you see these microphones as insects, and that...
Well, look at that.
I can see it now, but I didn't see it before.
All right.
But they could be like ants, maybe. What do you see them as?
Grasshoppers.
All right, we could see grasshoppers, but do you see that? Oh, so it's taking anything, and with whatever your vision is, you could create that with light and sound.
Right.
So that's basically
right.
what...
Right, and it is for people who don't know anything about it. It is, at the beginning, maybe a hard thing to understand because it doesn't have a story.
Right.
People are used to see story with the moving image and link that.
Yeah.
But think about it. That's not necessary.
Right.
You know, a lot of the first...
I'm sorry, Natasha. Apparently, we have a call. Someone wants to ask you probably about video art installation. You're on the air with Natasha Prosing. Hello? Hello? Did you click the button, honey? Mm-hmm. Did you click the green button?
Yeah, it's on.
Okay, well, call back because... Hello?
I can hear something.
Hello? We're talking to the coffer. Hello? I don't think he knows that he dialed, so why don't we disconnect him, and then when he realizes he can call back. So basically, with the video art installation, you can take anything,
right?
And you can, depending on what you feel, what you think, and a mild hallucinogenic sold in downtown LA, you could make an amazing piece of art.
Exactly. You know, you just have to open up, like, to things that we do every day anyway. Mm-hmm. But just, you know, people like to watch at the firework, just at the fire, you know, and you don't think about story or anything,
right.
but it just kind of possesses you.
Yeah.
Or into a fish tank or something
right.
like that, and, you know.
A lava lamp.
Exactly.
Kind of like music without words.
Yeah, lava mm-hmm. lamp. So to answer your question and to answer mine, we now know what a video art installation is. So do you get hired? Do people actually say, or would people come to you and say, Natasha, I want you to create a piece for, and they just give you the subject and then you take over?
Yeah,
is that how you get work?
It does happen, but not very often. But if you go to Standard Hotel Downtown, they have video art, permanent video art installations.
Mm-hmm.
Once I was hired by a company, a Slovenian company that does freeways, like a big, you know.
Right.
Construction company,
uh-huh.
right? And for their fair, and they wanted me to make a 14-channel video installation. That was
great.
Now,
what does that mean, 14-channel? What does it mean?
It means that there are going to be 14 images, moving images, playing simultaneously.
Oh, I see.
Like the piece that I had at the DGA this August was a 10-channel installation because there was 10 projection all around the DGA lobby.
Right. Okay, so now we know 10 channels means 10 pictures. 10 pictures. Now, speaking of... Now, I know when you sent me the information, and I was first... I got over my shock of you having your hair short when you had that beautiful, thick, luscious model hair, and now it's short. I saw you in front of a mosaic print, and I understand that that's another video installation, and that is on the wall... Is that the wall of the Slovene Embassy in Washington, D.C.?
Right.
Now, how did that happen? Well, did they commission you, or...?
Well, they invited me to have a show there. But
the Slovene Embassy.
Exactly. Okay. But they don't have a regular gallery. They have one main room where, for conferences and stuff, and a lobby where they expose art on a regular basis. Mm. So they have openings and everything. And, but it's not, you know, when I go into gallery, I really change the space. And here I couldn't because it was multi-purpose space.
Okay.
So I had to do something that would work with light or whenever people are walking in and out. So it can be gallery or not gallery, whatever they need.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to... on top of video installation, which is in the other room, I created two prints that are related to my video work, mm-hmm. but that are not photos of the work, just photos of the work. But they are on the same theme, and for example, one of the things I always incorporate is movement, and I wanted to incorporate movement. So, for example, this one of Vortex, it's made of 182 pieces, and they're
You say pieces, what do you mean pieces? Actual physical objects or
pieces of it's make like a puzzle.
Okay,
like you say, a piece of puzzle.
So you you've shot this.
It's a photograph, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a photograph, right. And it's cut apart in a certain way.
Okay, and then
put together, and it's supposed to kind of vibrate in light, and it was done for a specific wall.
Right.
So it
and
works
that's
with
what
the
makes
wall.
It mosaic because of
yeah,
the
mosaic
cut.
Means that it's done out of a lot of pieces.
What? Now, when you say movement, is there something? What's making it move? Is it being shown on a slide projector? Or
No. It's a physical thing.
Oh,
it's actually like a like a photograph or a print of some kind, you know.
Do you believe that, Albert? Can you even conceive that? I'm like, oh, just give me some marijuana and let me go look at it. I'd be very happy looking at this movement. But
I'm hoping I'm going to put them up. I made two of those, and I hope I'm going to soon show them in Los Angeles.
So that, how long is it going to be at the Slovene Embassy in D.C.?
Until the end of January.
In the end of January?
Yeah, whoever lives there, they can go check
yeah.
it out.
So if you live in D.C., go to the Slovene, S-O-L-V-E-N-E, correct? Slovene Embassy in Washington, D.C., and you can see Natasha Persing's work. Is it on the first floor?
The first floor? They do need to call first.
Okay. Is there a website address for the Slovene Embassy?
Google Slovene Embassy, it's right there.
And I think there's some security to go through, right?
Yeah.
So be prepared, because you don't get to look at Natasha's stuff for free. There are security guards. No, it's probably very easy. So just Google that, and you can check it out. Now, you also have, in February, you have another video installation called Innocence Dissolved. I like that. That could be a band name.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I like that. Or a porn movie. I really like that. Okay, mm-hmm. Innocence Dissolved, and that's going to be at the Pasadena Phantom Galleries.
That was last February.
Oh, last February.
Yeah.
Oh, I got 2009. Oh, how was that then?
Well, that was another video installation. It was great because of the space. We were in a old furniture factory. LA Phantom Galleries put the shows in abandoned spaces. That's what they do around LA, and it's a great thing for me, because galleries are usually
kind of similar to one another right. inside. It was a group show curated by Nancy Buchanan and Joe Santaromana, and it was just a really great collaborative piece.
So people come in and they look and they feel inspired and motivated and they're enlightened and lifted.
I hope so. It was
That's
actually
the goal for the video installation.
From any art, you have to be affected by it. Otherwise, it's phony.
It's phony.
So now that innocence is dissolved last February, is there guilt coming?
It's guilt all the time.
Is the series Guilt evolved? Are you going to have something with that? Innocence dissolved?
You know, this is the thing with the titles. I just finished my new piece, and it has something to do with the mirror. Craig helped me actually with that, and I was coming up with all kinds of stuff. And now, if I remember, it's obsessive reflection.
Oh, I love that obsessive reflection. Isn't that cool? That is exactly what we do on a Friday and Saturday night after we get drunk and come home. And we sit and ponder our lives. What the hell has become of us? What the hell? Oh, is that a whisker? What's going on? Obsessive reflection. Then you start thinking about when you had the Marilyn Monroe figure in 1984.
That sounds like one of the names Band in a Box comes up with.
Yeah. So if I went to see your exhibit, that's what I'd be thinking about. But that's just me.
I just want to say, Priscilla, that's very much your perspective.
That's right.
But listen, that's what's good about art, that it's not, you know, spoon feeding. So everybody is expected to bring their own, knowledge and experience and everything and meet somewhere in between.
Right.
And I think that's where art is really strong, you know, so you've got to be open to it.
Everybody's going to see something different. It's just like when you see the accident and the cop tries to get a report. You ask five people, you're going to get five different stories.
Right. So. The only problem is when you don't see anything. Not so much about the people, but more about artists. That's what I'm saying.
You know? I know. What does it mean when you look at a piece of art that's supposed to be like a masterpiece and you don't see anything? Does that mean you're like dumb?
No. In contemporary art, I think there's a guy, some kind of guidance that I have for my personal, you know, when I go to museums and art galleries, it's when they have like 3 or 5 or 10 pages of concepts and all kinds of stuff, and this has nothing to do with what you see, then I think there's something wrong there.
Right. But there's I feel something is wrong with me because I look at Monet and Monet and I look at various other Picasso and I'm looking and I look in different directions. I get to the side. I even tried to stand upside down and I'm thinking, what is it that people see in these pieces? They're millions and millions and millions of dollars. And because I can't see it, I think I just wasn't given the gift to be able to see what other people see.
I don't think nothing is really black and white. It's always between the art piece and the viewer and your mood and your everything, experiences from before and everything. So, but you know, since you mentioned money always kind of put things in a completely different perspective. And a lot of these pieces are way overpriced.
Yeah.
This is a business now, and it doesn't matter, you know, the price, you know, the quality of the painting.
But that's what they give value. They put value on. Oh, it's $1 million. It's got to be a masterpiece.
It's like there are things that are beyond that. It's Mona Lisa. How did that get ever that big? It is not that much better than so many other things, you know?
See, that's what I agree to. I'm like, oh, she needed a little makeup.
No, it's a great piece of work. I'm not saying, but it's just, you know, I don't think it's great.
I don't know what to look for. That's what I'm saying. I thought it was supposed to be
You don't know how to appreciate it.
Individual viewpoint.
Because you were contaminated by TV.
But
watching TV, and then you see Mona Lisa just sitting there.
Right. Well, no, I just don't get it. But you said each person is entitled to their own opinion.
No,
now you're saying, Oh, what do you mean you can't say
it? I did not say that. I just said that I like it.
I can't say it. I don't get it. But now I would pay $1 million for a Thomas Kinkade portrait. And a lot of people think that that's terrible. Or an Andy Warhol. I think that's the greatest artwork of all time. That's my cup of tea. But I don't get like some
but
of the masterpieces.
But that's great that we're different and that some people like different things.
Yeah.
I just mentioned Mona Lisa because this went so out of proportion that it became like a symbol. But it's not always just about quality. It's also about, you know, complete context of how and what certain art piece. I mean, I forgot the title. There's a book about that, you know, how certain artists and artifacts, they have certain paths. Mm-hmm. And you can be like a genius in a wrong time, in a wrong place, in a wrong situation, you're never going to flourish. Then there's another one that it's born on the lucky star, as we say, mm-hmm. and something completely different is going to happen.
Right.
So, you know, life is just full of surprises.
Yeah, it all comes down to what you were into in the 60s and 70s and how you can determine what's going on now. If you have a flashback, you may see something artistic. If not, you're just going to see black and white. That's the way I feel about
you
it.
You just have to be open to the art.
Well, I tried. You know, people even suggested, you know, that we're talking the 80s now. It was experiment time for me. I was a teen. And they're like, well, you know, you have to, you know, smoke a little pot and then look at it. So I smoked a little bit and I'm looking. I said, damn, I need a cheeseburger. Maybe that'll help. Because it wasn't happening and I couldn't see it. And then they said, oh, you know, you need to take a little, you know, mushroom. So I'm like, oh, okay, let me do a little mushroom. And I'm looking still. The Mickey Mouse didn't help. I said, forget this shit. I'm going to In-N-Out Burger. That's what art is to me, a big burger with cheese. But that's the individual's perspective, right? You have to, it's independent. So what else have you done? Also, now, did I get this wrong? August 2008, you did exposure for the Directors Guild,
right.
DGA. Tell us about that, Vision Fest. Oh, here she goes again. The theme was exploitation of body in cinema. I like your ideas. They're kinky, aren't they? Obsessive reflection. What was the other one? Innocence dissolved.
Okay, I'll tell you what this one was about.
I thought you were like,
So I was just, a lot of my video art pieces are about the body, and they're based on human body, right? And how the body is expressive. For example, one piece, it's about a Buto dancer, but just about her back and how it's moving.
Voodoo dancer?
Buto dance? How is it called? Buto.
Belly?
Buto.
Oh,
no,
I
Buto dance.
Is.
It's a Japanese old, very old, traditional dance.
Not kabuki.
No.
Oh.
Where person become completely one with him or herself. And it's a minimal movement. You can barely see it, but it's so expressive that when you I pick the back of a human body, it's almost as expressive as a face.
Mm.
In any case, I just think that in cinema, in contemporary cinema, body, especially female body, it's often treated in a very stereotypical way.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of, like, if you look at a movie star, they just look alike, and that's kind of like, where is the, you know, variety, where is something unique about the body and stuff, which I believe makes it interesting, beautiful, sexy, kinky,
yeah.
if you like.
That's
you
why
know?
I like character actors. They
right.
add so much more.
Right. So, you know, these piece was about this theme. What, you know, how can we look at a body in order, so it's not exploitive, but it's like welcoming to the differences and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and how was that welcomed at the Directors Guild?
It was great. It was great. It was tons of people. And was
it just one night or is it?
Yeah, it was a lot of work. It was one night, tons of people. It was just, and they have a lot of security there.
Ah,
so.
Well, we like the security that makes you feel successful. I want my own security guard coming
right.
to this station. Now, you just did a feature. Yay.
Right.
In 2008. It is 2008. 2008, right?
No. Which one?
The Plato Symposium.
Oh, Plato Symposium.
Now,
right.
This one is called, here we go again, with the mind of Natasha. This is called Drinking Party. Do we see what's happening here, people? Now, she is a beautiful woman. You can't see her, but she is beautiful, sexy. She's very, like, reserved, yet she's like a cat in the night with claws. And I'm thinking, she's reserved and conservative, but with these titles, look out, Craig, his back is all scratched up right now. I just know it.
Innocence dissolved leads to drinking party.
That's right. Now I'm seeing the whole theme. So tell us about drinking
party.
All right,
you can go on as much as you want, but I'm covered here because it's all Plato.
That's right. See, I was just
it's
making
it. Several thousand years old.
Yes.
A drinking party, and it's basically kind of like a post-Oscar party. That's how we made it.
Oh.
And it's this, dramatist, Agathon, who received the party, and all the old, the biggest minds of old Greek mm-hmm. come there, and they drink, and then some of them suggest, okay, let's talk about love, and everybody gives a speech about love.
Mm.
So,
their perspective on love.
Their perspective on love. And this is from this piece, a lot of really historic notions about love came out. For example, the one that people are spheres, that also Hedwig and Angry Inch was based on.
Yeah.
Basically, this film is based on Plato Symposium as well.
I see.
So it's just something that is the they call it the most famous conversation in mm-hmm. history, because still our perspective on romance, for example, is still based on that
right.
text.
Yeah, along with the Trials of Socrates, which is one of my favorites. Now, that was shot with 6 cameras and 3 sets simultaneously in one day. How did you do that? How does one do that? I hear these people, they're like, oh, I need this much money and I need all this time and blah, 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 blah. How do you do that one day?
Well, you need to know there's not a lot of huge scenes and a lot of action and stuff like that. It's a bunch of people in a room. But we had, 2 additional sets mm-hmm. that they were running at the same time. And
okay.
we did it all with 6 cameras.
Were they
and
in
we
costume
were,
or were they just Muzzet modern day?
It's very contemporary.
You did it
contemporary. Yeah, no
togas. Oh, you should have had them in togas. See, I would have had them
They've
in togas.
Done that so many times.
I know. Maybe dressed as hippies.
Right.
Like, total hip. Oh, I see that. She's causing me to be artistic over here. I'm starting to have visions. Now, distribution. What? And we're going to talk about one of my favorite films. It's probably my favorite because it's the only one I've seen that you've done, because I had the DVD souvenir. And we went to your
screening
souvenir.
Yeah.
And it is fantastic. Anyone who hasn't seen it, you've got to see it. It's called Souvenir. And I understand because at the time you were looking for distribution. And now I understand. Do we get another? Natasha has gotten distribution with Cinema Epoch.
Right.
And the release date is April the 7th. Now, where is it going to be released?
Well, these just happened before the holidays. We haven't, talked about details or anything. It was just before holidays. Our agent called me and said, guess what happened?
That's amazing. A lot of people ask me, I'm doing this film, I'm doing that film, I'm doing it. How do you get distribution? Tell them as an independent artist how you did it. It was hard, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
It's not easy. It's
hard. You need to know that I gave up hope already.
Yeah.
I mean, not completely. It was just, it's been almost 2 years since the
right.
film. First, it was a year of festival run and awards and all that stuff. And we were just really, and then we signed with our agent who worked really hard in order to, try to get the film out there. But the film, it's about art.
Now, is this a literary agent or is this a...
No, my sales agent for the film,
okay.
Multivisionaire. He did a great job, but the thing is just, the thing is that the film doesn't have any name actors at all.
Right.
It was a super low budget, so,
It has my friend Rita Obermeier, who did a wonderful
absolutely.
job.
It has great performances.
Uh-huh.
Jennifer Ferdinand, one of the actresses, actually got the nomination for best supporting actress in Tenerife Festival. Yeah, so yeah, but it doesn't have the elements that are right. obviously commercial.
Right, it's
so
more
that's
artsy.
Why. Mm-hmm. Well, it is artsy.
Avant-garde, maybe?
Yeah, but the thing is that does have a strong story. Does mm-hmm. have a kind of a twists and turns and right. all that and drama and you know, secrets and things. So right. anyway, it does have elements, but it doesn't have these obvious elements mm-hmm. that usually distributors are looking for.
The commercial value.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So so finally, this distributor, Greg Hatanaka from Cinema Epoch, saw the film and decided to give it a try.
What's he going
to
do with it? Did he say?
See, this is something I'm not ready to talk about yet because it just happened yeah. in front before the holidays and we were not. We're just putting together the deliverables, you know, DigiBeta and this and that.
So. We'll know on April 7th. So keep right. up with our website. I imagine you're going to have it on there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Again, if you want to find out more about that, go to her website, canaliapictures.com, K-A-N-A-L-Y-A-P-I-C-T-U-R-E. Yes, and you got to check out Souvenir. Do you have that on your website?
The film clip?
No.
The trailer.
Yeah, she's got a trailer on there, so you should definitely go and check that out, and we're excited for that. I know that I was excited about the LA Times thing. They just right. did. She just got the Durfee Foundation grant, right?
Right.
Right. And that is like a big thing. And, you know, I did not honestly know what the Durfee Foundation grant was. And I said, oh, I don't know what that is. I'm going to look it up. And I just want to tell you, people, this is wonderful. And correct me if I'm wrong. They have grants for just about everybody in the arts. And I want to give this website address because if you need to get money for your project, they do just about everything. And let me just run real quick, but they give grants for the Center of Cultural, wait, what is it, the endowment. They have a National Endowment for the Arts for Literature and Jazz and Visual Arts, and Sabito for composers. And basically, if you do anything in the arts, director of visual arts, what other type
theater
you yeah. write
music
composers, and you need money for your project, you want to go to this website. It's durfee.org. Please go there because I didn't even get to check all of it out, but I know I was extremely impressed.
Yeah, it's a great organization. I would just like to add a little something for people to know what's all about. It's a finishing fund. You have to be invited to a certain event or show or
right.
something. I got it, for example, for my Tel Aviv show that it's coming up in February.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have a project and kind of secured way where you're going to show
right.
it.
They're not
and
gonna,
then they're going to step in.
Right. It's not like you say, oh, I want to be. It's more like you did, and they know that you show artistic value and that you are a major part, a contributor to the community in the world of art. So congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That. It was in the LA Times December 18th edition.
Thank
right,
you, yeah.
I think so. Now we got to get it all in. We got 5 minutes, but I want to talk about. It goes fast, doesn't it? Now in February, you are going to be a participant in the Tel Aviv International Video Installation Show. 20
right.
people from 20 countries at the Tel Aviv Museum of Art. What are you doing over there? What is this?
Well, they pick one of the installations. The curators are from Italy, and they're putting up the big video art show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a lot of really
big
names from the art.
What kind of dirty stuff are you
I'm
doing?
I'm not telling you this time.
Do you have a name for it?
Yeah.
Well, we got to know the name. Because
okay, are you ready?
I'm ready. All right,
okay.
Here we go.
It's Tomb.
Tomb, like womb?
No, it's like grave.
T-O-M-B. Tomb. What's it about? Because, you know, we can't fly to Tel Aviv to see it. We'll never see it. Just real quick, in 1 minute, tell us what it is. What will they be seeing at the museum?
It's like a little horror movie.
A little horror movie. There you go. Tomb, a little horror movie at the at the Tel Aviv Museum of Art. And now you also, Canalia Pictures, which you are the creator of, you are going to be doing another feature, Death of Socrates. Is that going to be doing any trials?
That's serious. It's a link to a next one after Plato. We're also going to do Lizzie Strata at some point.
And, oh,
Great work from history.
Now, what are you doing? What are you doing on that?
You're directing.
Collaboration with 30 international production teams?
It's a long monologue, and we're going to have filmmakers from all over the world doing little sections.
Oh.
And then I'll also make one my section, and then we'll put it all together.
Oh, that sounds fun. When are you going to have that done?
I don't know.
Well, stay tuned for that. And that one is, what is that called? Death of Socrates. I love it. All right, for the last thing, Jack and Jillian, black comedy. Woo! Tell us about it.
I was afraid I'm not going to be able to talk about
it. You are going to talk about it. Oh, I got something here.
Yeah,
Jack and Jillian.
That's my most challenging project and most fun.
Ooh.
And if you like it, most kinky.
It does look kinky. I'm looking at this
thing. Not really. It's like Tootsie with a touch of, it's a way more flamboyant, but it's about an Edmund who was wrongly accused of a murder and find himself succeeding on all levels by disguising himself as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But it has...
I love that.
Yeah, now it's a great piece written by Russell Paquette,
mm-hmm.
And we're trying to put a budget together for a $5 million budget together.
She only needs $5 million. Start contacting me and donating some coin, people. It's a comedy of love, murder, sexual identity, and clothes to die for. Who doesn't want to see this? This sounds fun.
It's really, this is going to be a roller coaster that is going to be as entertaining as also mind-opening and sexually liberating.
Well, you know, if it's Natasha Prosink, there's some sexual liberating stuff going on in there, as we have found during this 50-minute segment. There is some activity in the mind of Natasha. So you want to check this out. You want to support her by putting on this film. Are they going to get anything if they give you money?
Oh, absolutely.
What
absolutely.
Do they get? This Tell film, us what they get,
this
Natasha.
This film's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah. So talk to her about back in 1% gross point stuff. But so what if where can we hear more about it? On the website?
Jackandjillian.com. Yeah.
Jackandjillian.com. Check it out. She needs $5 million. We need you to give money to Natasha because she's tapped out all the funds and grants around town. So now she needs you. Okay, everybody, it's time to go. Craig, can you say something before we go? Craig's been sitting here.
I've learned a lot about Natasha.
Craig is our wonderful,
production designer.
I keep saying production designer. I want to say art director, production designer. And he worked on The Mask, the Jim Carrey movie. And I'm going to drag him back in here just to talk about that. Thank you very much. You have anything to say before you go?
Thank you, Priscilla. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Craig.
Thank you, Albert.
And thank you for listening, everybody. Again, Natasha Prosink, KanayaPictures.com, and give her some money for Jack and Jillian, and you'll get something in return. JackandJillian.com. We'll see you next week. See ya!
The Horror Channel is your home for the best in horror entertainment, news, culture, lifestyle, and best of all, frights. We are available on Verizon Fios Cable Television. Go to channel 900, free on demand, and select Pop Culture. Scroll down and you'll find The Horror Channel. So be sure to visit horrorchannel.com for all of our latest programming.